safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad that you are with us tonight. Thank you for joining us and making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your Sunday evening on this sixth day of April. Somehow my mind is still stuck back in March, but we're full flush into a new month and still here in this season of Lent. And I just hope that this Sunday evening finds that it's well with your soul tonight. I'm really glad that you're here, and I know that you're going to enjoy our guest tonight. I want to let you know that we are live, and so our phones are open if you want to join the conversation. That always blesses us too. And you know, it always happens week in and week out. Everyone calls at about 10 minutes before the show's over. Our phones are open right now, so you get on the phone and call us. Maybe something about a former program, or maybe you went to cradlemyheart.org to see that tonight we're going to be talking about the Virtuous movie, and you already have a question in mind. The phones are open right away. 800-811-3003 is our number. It's 800-811-3003. Tonight we're going to talk about the issues that women face that lead them down the difficult road of incarceration because of addiction or other life-controlling issues. And I think that it's, you know, when people think about women getting to the point that their life leads them to incarceration, to me, as I talk about folks who are even in prison ministry and trying to serve different populations out of ministry, out of the church, it's just a stepsister ministry. I had the opportunity to go with the Ruth Graham teams to Angola a number of years ago, and God is doing such work there. It used to be the bloodiest prison in America. It used to be the most dangerous prison. It's a prison island the size of Manhattan in the Louisiana Bayou, surrounded by canals that they stock, yes, with alligators to prevent escapes. And that used to be the reality. Now, most of the men who are there who are lifers and are there because of homicides are pursuing faith. And there is a seminary that operates inside that prison. And it's sending offenders into other facilities to train them how to become the pastors of their prisons. An amazing thing God has doing. But, you know, as part of our ministry team with Ruth Graham, we went to visit the women's facility in Baton Rouge. And I have to tell you, although the staff is doing a great job with those women, and although the Holy Spirit is definitely afoot there, healing lives, the resources, the ministry teams, the emphasis and the attention wasn't there for the women. So I'm excited tonight that you're going to hear about some organizations that are placing the spotlight on women in need, especially women, again, whose lives have led to incarceration, because that usually means some serious life issues are at play. And we're going to hear a little bit of stardust, a little razzle-dazzle about Hollywood and some stars whose names you would know, and some public figures and celebrities you would have heard of tonight, too. Our guest joining us in the studio here at our Georgia flagship at WMVV New Life FM is Pam Jenkins from J-Bach Ministries. Pam is a Bible study leader, and she studied under Kay Arthur and learned to lead through the precepts method of ministry, which is just very strong exegesis and taking the inductive Bible study method, going to the scriptures and studying it line by line to see what God's word says, and having that be the emphasis even more than the application, just poring over the scriptures to understand them. And out of that, Pam birthed her own ministry, and now she is writing a book to go with this new film, which we're going to learn about tonight, called Virtuous. So, Pam Jenkins, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. It's so nice to meet you and have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to be here and excited about to be able to talk about some of the issues that women face, and also the ministries, and I believe just what's on the horizon of a great and mighty wave of grace and strength and encouragement that's coming through what God's doing, and just the small part that we're being able to be involved with, you know, on the Virtuous Movie level that we're going to be talking about. So it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, the movies are great. The films are great because they bring to life stories of things that are actually happening in the lives of people. You know, and one person's story really can change the world.
That's exactly right.
But before we get into the plot line of this story, let's look at the big picture and what is the need. You know, as we start to think about, you know, in addition to prison ministry, I also served with Teen Challenge Ministries, and I've served in Celebrate Recovery settings. And, you know, for women, I think the issues, the life issues that come into play when there are serious addictions, when there is an incarceration, when there has been such a breakdown in a woman's life, I think it's a very, it's a really a different situation that you're talking about as compared to when that happens with men.
It is. And I believe it's just because how God has designed women. He's designed them to be the influence in the home. He's designed them to raise those children, to influence the next generation. And women are relationship-oriented anyway by God's design. And if you have a breakdown in the family, if you have a breakdown of any level with a woman, whether it's even in her adulthood years, it may not even stem from her childhood years, but even her adulthood years, say through divorce, I think the statistics are one in two, more than one in two, I think, actually, that will end in divorce, and all the things that plague women today, also the serious issues just of the Hollywood mentality, too, that we have to be. It's what we need to be. We need to look like, and we need to be like, and dress like, and act like, and speak like, and all of these performance-driven ideologies that plague us today. And even if you stand in the line at the supermarket, you're bombarded even with the magazine covers that are there, and from the commercials to the reality shows that are on TV, and all the drama that's there, and all that's wrapped up in that will drive us when we feel like we failed. You know, even if there's not a breakdown in the family unit or some tragedy that affects a woman's life that may turn her to an addiction, there are many reasons why women turn to alcohol or drugs or sex addictions. Addictions come in many different levels and forms, and for many different reasons. But I have found that at the heartbeat of every woman that's in need and that addiction, whatever that addiction may be, it's the need to know who they are before the eyes of a holy God. The eyes of a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can bring the woman to that place and get her still enough to listen and to learn, then from there she can begin to grow and to deal with one by one whatever those demons in her closet may be, whether it's years of abuse or a loss or a tragedy that happened or a failure mentality, seeing herself as nothing but a failure. When you can start her just at that place, who am I before the eyes of a holy God, then there's hope. You can give any woman hope, no matter what her past may be. And she can find out from God's word that the greatest thing about a woman is not what lies behind her, but it's what's before her. Because God's a God of the before and the after.
Amen. I hope if you're listening tonight, and maybe you're not even struggling with an addiction, but maybe you're just feeling broken. Maybe you're just feeling tired. Maybe your faith isn't making any difference in your daily life. I hope that what Pam has just said really landed in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it isn't where we've been. It's where we're going. Mm-hmm. It isn't what we've done. It's what God is ready to do for us. Our guest tonight is Pam Jenkins, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're talking about the Virtuous movie. Pam is part of the team that brought that movie into being out of her local church, as well as a ministry that she serves in to help teach the scriptures. And so we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about how the heart of this movie is to see women healed. There are lots of stories. It's a multi-plot, and we'll get into that in our next section. It's a multi-plot story, and many of the women in this depicted in this film have very, very different backgrounds and different stories, but we all need this hope.
That's right.
That exactly. Pam has been talking about. So a very short break, and then we'll be back. You can join us on the phone. We're live tonight at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. You can send us a quick email if you'd like, kim@cradlemyheart.org. Of course, if you want to tweet, at Kim Ketola, K-E-T-O-L-A, just get in touch. We're here for you tonight, live at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Ketola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Ketola. Join the conversation. Call toll free 800-811-3003.
Thank you for being here tonight. I'm Kim Ketola, your host here on Cradle My Heart Radio. You can always go to cradlemyheart.org to learn more about our guests. You'll find links to Pam Jenkins' J-Bach Ministries, as well as the topic of our interview tonight, this virtuous film, which is going to be released on Mother's Day. Cradlemyheart.org has your program notes. We've got podcasts of former programs. If you just joined us, you wanted to hear that first segment, we'll have our podcast posted tomorrow. So that's where you go also to find our presence. At Twitter and Facebook, all of our social media are linked there also at cradlemyheart.org. And a quick program note that next week we have Liz Curtis Higgs as our guest. She's the author of the Bad Girls of the Bible series, and she's got her own bad girl story to share. She told me once that Howard Stern said, "Liz, you need to slow down." And you know, if Howard Stern is talking to you about your life,
you really need to slow down.
That's true. And we'll also next week be talking with Ann McElhaney. She and her husband, Phelan McAleer, are now working on a new project. They're documentarians working on telling the story of Kermit Gosnell. And that's going to be a compelling interview. You will not want to miss that next week. But tonight, Pam Jenkins, our guest, is talking about the virtuous film, and it was birthed in your church, Rock Point Church. Tell me about how this came about.
A young film producer by the name of Jason Campbell, and it's JC Films. He's from West Virginia, and he's a graduate of Liberty University, and he has been called to make faith-based films full-time. And his partner in this endeavor, one of his partners in this endeavor, is Eric Estrada. For those who are old enough to know who Eric Estrada is, Ponch, you know, from Chips, he was a police officer and rode the motorcycle, and the handsome Puerto Rican actor that hit the screen, I guess that was back in the 70s. I'm guessing in the 70s.
80s, I think.
Or the 80s?
Or maybe the 80s.
I think it was 70s.
My son was really into it when he was little, but it might have been reruns.
Reruns, yeah. But anyway, Eric Estrada, a lot of people don't know this about Eric, but he was in the first Christian movie about the cross called The Cross and the Switchblade.
Sure.
And he was in that film and mm-hmm. played the major role. And so that's how he got his start in acting. But the world took him away a little while, and now he's producing these faith-based films. And they came to Rock Springs to show the first film they had made together called Finding Faith. And that's a very compelling story. It was based upon a true story because Eric Estrada went into real-life police work after the Hollywood scene. And he got into working against fighting human trafficking.
Mm, okay,
and so
sure.
they based this first film on a true story. On a case, and so this, of course, has a Christian message and a wonderful film, and so they came to show that film at our church. They were traveling the country, and they came to Rock Springs in Milner, Georgia, and Dr. Benny Tate is the pastor, and they approached him after the service, and they talked about making a film. Some people in our church wanted to make a film. You know, what would it take for our church to make a Christian, you know, faith-based film with a good Christian message? So that's kind of how it was birthed. And he came back some months later with an idea and a beginning of a script for Virtuous. And it's based on the Proverbs 31 woman. So he approached us. He approached me. J-Bot Ministries about writing the Bible resources to go with it. And there'll be a women's conference tour. So it's how to take the Proverbs 31 woman who sits at the spindle, spinning, you know, and weaving and making her own clothes and all of those things. How do you transport her?
Overachieving and making
right, overachieving, yes. You know, weaving your own clothes for the day. How does she do that? And
right.
So how do you take that Proverbs 31 woman and transport her thousands of years in time to relate to us today? If that Proverbs 31 woman was alive today, would we recognize her? Would it be who we would think? And so, you know, your mind immediately goes to, okay, the Amish. Well, we'll find an Amish woman. She would fit the Proverbs 31
sure.
woman. And so that's kind of the mentality I've had. And even as a Christian woman, I have ran and stayed very, very far away from this woman. Any of the Bible studies that would be on Proverbs 31 throughout the years of going to church, you know, some women would have these studies. I would stay away from it. I've never taught on it. I feel like I'm so far from that. And what I had set this woman on a pedestal and, you know, the height of that pedestal and something I would never be able to achieve. It was all about achieving and performance until I got into really what she was about. And so that's the plot of, that's the basis, the foundation of this movie. And so from that concept, a script was birthed and the characters of really 10 women, 8 strong characters, but 10 women in this movie, and they all tie together. There's a little bit of mystery in this movie. They all tie, their lives all tie together and connect in some form or fashion. They all connect back to this one life, this one woman's life. And you may not even know how they all connect until maybe in the middle or towards the end of the movie.
And it's a courtroom drama.
It's a courtroom drama. It's got some Hollywood, you know, in it. A lady is a singer and she wants to, you know, be a singer, a country singer. And she ends up, you know, her plans change and she goes on trial for murder. And so all of these characters that are involved in this and how the community goes against her because of her past, she's very much like the Samaritan woman. And God had saved her, had radically saved her from a life of drugs and just a horrific past. And she's now on the right track when this happens. And so there's a murder mystery plot. There's, you know, all of these women. As a woman, if you'll go into the theaters and you'll see this movie, when you sit down and watch this movie, you'll be able to identify with at least one of these characters.
Sure. And our phones are open tonight with our guest, Pam Jenkins, 800-811-3003, because you've met Eric. You've been on the set.
I have.
And some of the other cast members people
yes.
will know. We'll talk about in just a moment. But if you want to say hi to Pam, maybe you have a story about meeting Eric Estrada, join us, 800-811-3003. It's 800-811-3003 tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Talk about being on the set.
Yes, Eric Estrada, you know, when he comes on the set, you know, every woman kind of does that initial swoon. You know, she's just, you're kind of smitten with him, and he's very personable. He's very, very kind. He's, of course, very congenial. You know, he's full-blooded Puerto Rican, so when he comes on the set, you know it. He doesn't enter a room quietly, but his heart is for these faith-based films. You know that he has a heart for it. Of course, a brilliant, talented actor. Also on the set was Jessica Lynch, the POW, Aaron Bethay.
Say a little bit more about Jessica's story if people aren't remembering who Jessica
was. Lynch in 2006 was taken captive. She's the first female POW to be rescued from, you know, captivity, from being taken prisoner, prisoner of war. And she was rescued. Her team was traveling, and they took a wrong turn. And anyway, she ended up in an Iraqi hospital. And she's had 20-something surgeries to date. She's still countless hours of therapy, and not to mention the abuse that she suffered from the hands of her captors. But we went in and rescued her. And her story is very compelling. She was only 19 years old. 19 years old. I mean, that's a baby. And to meet this woman, she's little. She's tiny little frame. But when you meet her, she carries such a... There's a stoicness about her, calm but very strong, but also you know that there's just that inner child that so wants to understand why what happened to her happened. She represents resilience. Mm. She's the virtue resilience in the movie. And to meet her was such an honor. Just to know what a patriot that she is. And she now travels and speaks and shares her story, giving God the glory that, you know, God is the one that brought her through. And she's still a woman searching for answers, but she knows she may not get all those answers this side of heaven. So it was an amazing opportunity, and she'll be speaking on the conference tours as well.
Well, that's a unique feature of this film. There are two things that I really want to touch on, which is the Potter's House for Women, which is sort of an aftercare. If you go and you see this film and you say, well, you know, I know somebody who could use support, you'll hear about some of that. But also this conference that is available to help everybody with their issues.
Right. We're going to, this is what will be so neat and unique about this film. You can watch the film. They're doing a two-day, we have a two-day format where on a Friday night you can watch the movie. You also have an opening worship session and speaking session, and then Saturday you have a conference. And when that movie stops, how often would you have the opportunity to, all of a sudden, Jessica Lynch is there. You know, Jessica Lynch walks out on the platform. Aaron Bethay, who's also in the movie, who's played in Courageous and the leading part in Courageous, or Angelita Nelson from, she was Fireproof, and Angelita Nelson from Courageous. How often would you be able to watch a movie and all of a sudden the women starring in that movie are there and they share their real life testimonies and the things that they struggle with? All of a sudden you have a face, a real life face that goes from the screen to the stage right before you. That's a living reality of that virtue. So that's the neat thing about this. Also, there will be the Bible study resources to go with it and a reading companion. And I really believe that this will sweep the nation for the next few years. I really do. We have churches, hundreds of churches calling now, JC Films, wanting to already book this conference tour.
That's exciting.
That's how exciting.
It's exciting. It is. We're going to hear about the details of the Bible study because that's where really Pam's involvement comes in, being the author of the companion ministry materials, reading materials, because even after a conference, a lot of us want something to take home and
go
deeper into the scriptures and so on. And also we're going to hear about Pam's story and your testimony a little bit after a short break. And so please get to the phone or shoot us a quick email. 800-811-3003 is our number. And we welcome you to join us tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Back right after this.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Are you a virtuous woman? We are talking about a film that's called Virtuous, And it stars Eric Estrada and Jessica Lynch, the former POW, and a cast of other women whose names you will know if you're familiar with Christian films as well as Christian music. And it's opening on Mother's Day. And along with that will be released a book, a study guide, as well as just a companion reading source to go along with the Virtuous movie. You can find out all those details at our website at cradlemyheart.org. And tonight, joining us live in the studio is Pam Jenkins, who is writing that resource material. And Pam, some of your life experience, I think, of course, qualifies you. You've also written a number of Bible studies and other materials for women, and just Bible study material through your organization, JBOC Ministries. But let's back up and give you the chance to share your testimony and talk about just some of the life experiences that you've had in faith.
I would love to. You know, and to God be all the glory. I had to come to a place in my walk with God to be able to embrace what He had for me to do. To learn that secret, and I learned it the hard way, that never be any lesser or any more before others than I am before God. And when I learned that, and like I said, I learned it the hard way, I learned it through many failures. You know, sometimes our failures come at the hands of others, what others have done to us, and not responding correctly or not knowing how to respond. When I was 17 years of age, I had been dating a young boy, and like many other teenagers, you know, your hormones are off the chart at that age, and was into drugs and partying, into that scene. Had a stepfather that I didn't know my real dad. I had a stepfather that really was not a good man. Me and my sister suffered at his hands all of our life. We were abused, sexually abused, and so that sent us down a path of she went into drugs, I followed suit, and you don't even really know why you respond. My mother was a good mother. I couldn't have had a better mother. She did not know this. Mm-hmm. It was something, you know, you're back then, you know, in the 60s, you didn't speak of these things. You know, mm-hmm. Today there's such a more open platform, I think, for women to share it. They're more empowered to do that today. But as a child, you know, you feel like the weight of the world is on you. Well, when you're abused, what happens is a natural reaction many times is you become a people pleaser. You know, 90% of people pleasers, you know, or those that have been abused become people pleasers. It's just an automatic response to that. And I didn't even know that for years. And so I married at a young age to get out of the house, I think. I wouldn't have known love if it had, you know, bit me in the arm, and I wanted to get out of the house. And I was dating a guy that was not a Christian, had gotten pregnant out of fear, had an abortion, didn't want my mother to know. My mother was the one that I wanted to please more than anything. Mm-hmm. So, and my sister too. So we wouldn't have ever shared, you know, what was going on in our life. My sister got pregnant as a teenager, and she got married as a teenager. So she had already hurt my mother that way, so I secretly, my sister helped me, and I had an abortion. And the guilt of that abortion, the good in that, came because it drove me to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It drove me mm-hmm. to the Lord. So sometimes, you know, guilt can be a good force, and I say that, I tread on that lightly. It was in my life that it drove me to God. And at 17, right before my 18th birthday, I was about to graduate from high school. But I knew that God, the one thing standing between me and God, was this young man. And so I said, God, you can have all of me. I need peace from what I've done. I need peace from what I've done. And I cried out to God, and I ran down the aisle the day that I was saved. My mother had come to the place where she made me go to church. You're going to live in my house. You're going to go to church. I thought that was the worst thing that it could ever happen, a mother could ever do to a child, was make her go to church. And but several weeks passed, and God's presence was in this little church. And there was a pastor there by the name of, and he loved souls. And he was after my soul. He was an evangelist, and he came to the house, and he wanted to lead me to Christ, and I wouldn't have anything to do with that. And so that drove me eventually down the aisle to be saved, and my life changed. And I met a young man in church, and we got married. We had two girls, and immediately, within a few years after we married, he went back into drugs and alcohol, and God had just saved him. He was a brand new Christian. I was a brand new Christian. And he went back into drugs, and that sent us down a spiral of many years of him being out of church. And I was a mother taking my two children to church by myself. Mm-hmm. I was faithful, never missed. I was determined that I was going to raise them and be a spiritual rock for them. God began to use me. I taught children, got into precept. My pastor's wife took an interest in me. She said, "I want you to be my Timothy, and I'll be your Paul," when I first got saved. And I said, "Wow, okay." And then I said, "Well, what's a Timothy? You know, what's a Timothy? What's a Paul?" I didn't know. And so she began to drive me up on Tuesdays to precept Chattanooga. And I met Kay Arthur, Mama Kay. And Mama Kay paid for me kind of like a scholarship program to come and do a summer training. I don't know if they do those anymore now, but they did then. And this first summer that I went, I was so young and so scared, and it was the third part of Romans that she was writing, and it was called The Free Will of Predestination and the Free Will of Man.
Just some light.
Some little light. I couldn't even spell predestination. I didn't know what it meant.
Oh, wow.
And so I was mortified when I got up there, and they give you this Bible study, and you do it in a week's time. And so anyway, that birthed a love. When I saw Kay Arthur and my pastor's wife, Joy Norton, I knew that I wanted what they had. You know, when you sit mm-hmm. at someone's feet and you say, "They make me want to be like Jesus," that's God's presence. You know, and I didn't know that. So I began growing in the Lord, and I taught children for years, and then college and career. And then my pastor's wife, same pastor's wife, said, "I want you to fill in and teach my women's class for me for a month. I just need a break." Well, this is the way it always happened with her. And God used her to send me to my next level of ministry, and so that became, you know, 10 years later. And when God began to show me, "I want you to minister to women," I said, "God, I don't even like women. I don't even like women. You know, I'm good with the children. I never went to women's functions. I always wanted to be with the children." And so it was, I fought with God. I wrestled with him over that. And as I had been working with the women, ministering to the women of our church for a couple of years, and my marriage, it had already been a strain, and my girls, my oldest had graduated from college, my youngest was going away to college, and there came a day where my husband, it was, you know, and I tread very lightly because you never ever want to condemn another person, and certainly there are no completely innocent parties, you know, on both sides, but I do believe that there are victims in divorce, and I don't think any young girl says, "I want to grow up and get married and then get a divorce." You know, 25 years of marriage, and to be told one day to leave and not come back through, you know, the struggles and the situations and all that had happened. Mm. God brought me to a place because of my faith and because of what God's Word teaches. I had peace finally coming to, and it took 2 years, you know, to get to that place where, "God, this is the only alternative. I've not been left with any other choice but divorce." And so when we're put in those situations, and you know that it's a decision that supports your faith, that supports what God's Word has said, then you can go on in peace with that. And God taught me that failure's not a person, it's an event.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go forward.
There's so many things that I would want to really underline in your story. Pam Jenkins is our guest. If you're just joining us, phones are open tonight, 800-811-3003. Maybe there is a life issue that you've experienced that you heard Pam speak about here and sharing her story from the heart, and I really appreciate the honesty and the authenticity with which you share it, Pam. But if you listening are also feeling that appreciation, call us. Join us with your questions and comments tonight, 800-811-3003. And you know our ground rules. You don't have to give a name. That's fine. We always respect your privacy. 800-811-3003. The fact that your mother said, "You're going to church," You know, there are a lot of parents here today who are reluctant to do that and who feel as though that's not going to have any impact unless the child wants to be there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to me just a little bit about that and maybe encourage that parent who maybe they're feeling God is telling them to do that, but the child's still resisting, or the value of your mom standing in the role of being your mother at that point.
I think, and absolutely she did. You know, my mother...
Because you were almost grown by that point, right?
Right, right. I was a senior in high school, and I would tell any mother, any parent out there, and if I could say it to this whole generation of parents today, is be a parent. You know, don't be a friend to your child. Be a parent. Set the ground rules. You know, we have as American citizens, we want a homeland security. We love that. I love that. If you look on the news and anytime you hear anything about Homeland Security, which, of course, we had to adopt and implement after 9/11, you think, yeah, we need to make our border safe. We need to make our country safe. And, well, we need to do that with our children. We need to do that with our homes, and we need to set those boundaries. And God did not leave the responsibility to teach our children about Him and His Word. He didn't leave that responsibility to the government. He didn't leave it to our schools. He didn't leave it to even the church for our children. He left that responsibility to the parents. It's a parent's responsibility to teach them about God, to set up those memorial stones, and you're passing by and your child says, what is that for? As you mark your life and you teach them, taking every opportunity to teach your children about God, but setting those boundaries between the light and the darkness. And God did that at the very beginning of creation. Before God brought this perfect environment, he said, let there be light. And then when he saw that the light was good, we're told that God separated the light from the darkness. And from that, God created all that we read in those 6 days of creation. That is where that safety boundary, God put that separation. And so between light and darkness, as a parent, we've got to keep that separation. And part of that is saying, we're going to go to church. You live in my house, we're going to go to church. I'm going to set a boundary between the light and darkness in your life, because God, number one, has given me that responsibility. God said, be fruitful and multiply. God did all of that we see in creation, but it was only after he had instituted that separation. So I would tell parents today, keep that separation. You're the guardian of that separation.
And it sounds like Mom may have had a little more insight into what was really going on in your life behind the scenes.
More than I thought she did.
Probably.
You know, more than I thought she did at the time.
They just do have those eyes in the back of their heads, don't they?
That intuition.
800-811-3003 is our number. Short break, and then more with our guest, Pam Jenkins. And when we come back, Pam, I want to talk about something you said about the positive value in God's economy of the breach in the relationship between yourself and God that abortion caused, even though that relationship wasn't really there yet. It wasn't really established, and yet there was a hunger in your heart to make things right. Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about that. And if you have experienced abortion and you do not yet have peace with God, you stay with us, because this is something for you that's coming up after this break tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Back right after this.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're so glad that you're able to join us tonight. Our guest is Pam Jenkins, and she is leader of JBOC Ministries, which you will find a link for at cradlemyheart.org. She has taught through the Precepts Inductive Bible Study Method in her church, and she's now writing, she's written a number of Bible studies, but she's also writing a companion piece to the movie Virtuous, which is going to be released on Mother's Day. You'll find all the resources for that and the links at cradlemyheart.org. And Pam, you've been gracious to share your story with us, and I really appreciate that. And it's a story that includes abortion at the age of 17. And as I listen to you talk about trying to articulate the positive value, because God used that to draw him back to himself. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who say, even today, that the only problem with abortion is, you know, that the Christians are stigmatizing it. And so if Christians would just get on board and, you know, stop making women feel guilty, then everyone could understand this is just a common surgical procedure and it's almost a rite of passage, one out of three women. That's the new storyline. Mm-hmm. It used to, the storyline used to be it should be safe, legal, and rare. Well, the new storyline is it's common, so get over it,
mm-hmm.
If I could say it that coarsely.
Yeah.
And yet your experience mirrors mine very much so, which is at 17, mm-hmm. you weren't listening to Christians.
Right.
You weren't thinking about what anybody thought of
no.
you. I certainly wasn't at 23.
Yeah.
Our hearts condemned us.
Right.
Your
right.
heart, you knew in your heart
right.
too late
right.
that what you had done was a deep and grave offense.
Right.
And so talk about how God used that to draw you to himself.
Well, you know, as when I was faced with a pregnancy, a friend of mine took me to a clinic. And it was a pregnancy clinic, and they did the test. I thought I was pregnant and had all the signs. And the lady brought me in a room, and she was as nice as she could be, but she did tell me, you know, you have choices. You know, I didn't know anything about choices or not having choices. You know, I didn't understand all of that at that time. I was 17 years old, a baby. I was afraid. I was scared. And that woman sat, and she gave me the information, and she said, these are some numbers you can call. These are your choices. And these are doctor's offices. And you didn't need a parental, you didn't need parental permission then. And so it was very easy. The one thing that she did not tell me, which I believe, if you're going to inform someone of their choices, you know, God did that in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. This is your choice. I want you to see this tree right here. I don't want you to have anything to do with that. But your choice over here that I'm giving you is for the tree of life. You can choose to eat from any of these trees. I've given you all of this that you can partake of. And it's good for food. And then I've given you eternal life. But this one thing over here, I have never, ever, ever given you the choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said no. I've never said, you can eat from it, but this is going to be the consequences. God said, no, never eat from it, because this will be the consequences. They never sat down and said, this is the consequences. You have a choice, but the consequences are going to be, you're going to be guilty. You're never, ever, ever going to forget the day that you chose to take the life of your unborn child. You're never going to forget that. And they never, ever sat and explained that to me. And so after it was over, I did go, and my sister took me, and I had the abortion. All of that guilt that comes immediate, and it's immediate.
Mm-hmm.
It's immediate. If I could tell young girls today, or women, it's immediate. And I wasn't a Christian.
I wasn't either.
I knew right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, how did I know to feel guilty over that, if that was a good thing to do?
Right.
How did I know that? I was so far from God.
And I think, you know, we had a guest last week, and if you didn't get a chance to hear that, he talked about the work of Paul Swope in identifying that there are several categories of thinking before women choose abortion. And there are some who will choose it just out of convenience, and there are some who will choose it, you know, for another reason. But most women are... what you have just described, are feeling terrified of mm-hmm. our future
mm-hmm.
and are fear. Given incomplete information mm-hmm. that this is problem solving that will relieve your fear.
Right, right.
You know, that we fear motherhood is not even an option. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we fear the future. If
right.
this pregnancy were to somehow go forward, it threatens your future.
Right.
And
right.
so here's someone's offering you mm-hmm. a pain-free answer to that, and so they don't spell out the consequences, as you say. And
right.
what I tell young women is, you know, yes, you can choose that, but no one in any choice we have in life can choose our consequences.
Yeah.
You know, there's the natural law and God's law that right. provides consequences with every choice.
Right. And we're giving this generation, and it's been this way, I say this generation, but it's been this way for a while, we're giving our generation choices that God has never given us the right to have.
Right.
God has never, ever given us the right to murder an unborn child. And I had to come to the place when I got saved and I began to grow in the Lord this is what happens with women, say, in the potter's house, and thing, a woman when she's come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, she has to come to that place where she looks at her whole past just as it is. Because you have to come to God just as you are, to all that He is. And when you come to that place, you take ownership in all that you've done. That's a painful moment. I think we all have to take ownership. I had to come to the place where I took ownership. Yes, God, I became like King David. I became a murderer. I've been immoral. I've been all of these things. But I came to the place where I had to take ownership of what I did. And then when I took ownership at His feet, at the same place where I took ownership, I also took His grace. And I had to embrace His forgiveness. Because I understood for the first time that I felt like I was owed something with every offense that had been done to me as a little girl, robbed of my innocence, all of these things, of the choices of my consequences, of the choices I made or things done to me. I had to make that list where this was the offense, this is what was taken from me or I took from myself, this is what I feel I'm owed. And I had to do that with my own sins with God. This is what I've done. This is the consequences. God, this is what You were owed because of what I did. And then I had to mark it all. I had to take it one by one on that list to the cross. And when I did that, healing started taking place. And healing, you know, forgiveness is instantaneously with God. Restoration is a process many times. Mm-hmm. That restoration is a process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come overnight. And there are days when my past can come flooding back like a light turning on in a dark room. And I have to go back once again and say, oh, no, 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 no. I recognize who it's from now. And I look to the future. God's a God of the future, not a God of the past.
It's beautiful, Pam, the way that you have outlined that, because that's exactly what needs to happen. And it's the same thing that I tell women and try to articulate in my book, In Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, that as we accept exactly who we are,
right,
and present it to God without excuse,
mm-hmm,
it is only on that basis that we find the freedom, mm-hmm, of accepting the grace and mercy that He offers. Because if
that's
you're holding
exactly
something
right
back, mm-hmm, if you're not completely admitting to yourself and to the Lord exactly what has gone on and exactly, mm-hmm, what you know you are capable of,
mm-hmm,
you know, then it still, mm-hmm, binds you to the, whatever that thing is in the past, whether it's abortion or anything,
mm-hmm,
else. And
that's
so
exactly right.
I really appreciate the way that you've articulated that for us, and I hope that people can do it. And I'm guessing that, you know, that there are works like that that are at the center of this Bible study or this companion piece that you've written. We've only,
yes,
got a couple of minutes, but maybe give us the 1 minute summary of what people will find in your book that goes along with the Virtuous Movie.
We will cover all 10 virtues that we're covering from the Proverbs 31 woman. You'll be able to the women's stories in the movie, they will resonate with women on every level, whether young or old, a grandmother or a young mother or a mother-to-be or a single woman, college age. And so in these studies, what we'll do is take each virtue one by one and we'll put a face to that virtue out of the Bible, a living scripture. Esther is resilience. Gomer is cherished. So all of these things will just culminate into a beautiful process, I think, to take us on that journey a little further after seeing the movie to what God wants us to be and how we can apply Scripture in that.
Pam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
There is more to learn, and you can find out about it at cradlemyheart.org, which is linked to then J. Bach Ministries and the Virtuous film, which comes out on Mother's Day. If you just joined us a little bit late, go to cradlemyheart.org and look for the podcast coming up tomorrow afternoon. It should be posted, and also upcoming events for our coming broadcast, and we'll see you then.